For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How we doing on this fine Wednesday afternoon in New York City? There are a lot of benefits to having children. One of the benefits, I think, to having children is that it's an excuse to watch movies that you watched as a kid that they're then going to enjoy. So last night, while I've got the Mets and the Yankees on my tablets, my boys are like, we want to watch a sports movie. And I got to be careful because some of these sports movies, I'm not showing a Bad News Bears. I can't.
Oh, no, you can't.
Oh, my God.
The language in that is, is so horrendous.
I can't
believe I watched that when I was 12.
Yeah, me too. I thought the same thing.
It's just nuts.
It's crazy. So Bad News Bears is out. Major League, the original, is out. And so I'm flipping through the Disney app and Mighty Ducks comes up. And my boys are like, let's watch Mighty Ducks.
Does it hold up?
Does it hold up? It's a great question.
That's the question about some of these old movies that we love.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, I haven't had my daughters yet watch, because my favorite movie, even still to this day, is probably The Goonies.
Oh, duh.
And so I haven't watched it in enough recency to know if it holds up, but I kind of want my daughters to watch it.
You got
to
watch it first. You got to screen it, bro.
I don't remember it being bad. I think it was all appropriate, but I don't know if it's going to hold up.
Well,
because I loved it.
You know what's
absolutely
funny?
Loved it.
I didn't remember that Bad News Bears didn't hold up until I pre-screened it like a year and a half ago. Because Jet, my oldest, was on a kick of all baseball movies, Little Big League, Rookie of the Year, like you name it. And so I said, let me just make sure. And it took like a half hour before I'm like, no shot. I'm not doing this. I don't think anything from Mighty Ducks doesn't hold up in terms of appropriateness.
Yeah.
But what I do remember now watching it, first of all, I can't get my eyes off the fact that Pacey is in Mighty Ducks. And by Pacey, you know what I'm talking about? Do you guys
from
know
Dawson's
what that means?
Creek?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how I remember that.
I can't get over that. And even not just Pacey, but that guy Joshua Jackson was also in one of the great TV shows of all time called The Affair. I don't know if you guys have seen The Affair. It was like four seasons.
No, nope. Never saw that.
Oh, my God. That's some show. So he's in that, too. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's a kid. So I couldn't get over that. And it's not that it didn't hold up. It was that it was really cheesy and didn't make a lot of sense.
Quack, quack, yeah. Quack, 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 quack.
So they liked it, and then they watched D2, Mighty Ducks 2. That really didn't make any
That's
sense.
That's an abomination, D2.
They're going to the Olympics or something?
No, it's the Goodwill Games.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, the Goodwill Games.
Yeah, the whole thing is just very...
And you can't lasso people on the ice.
I watched that scene last night. So I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, it's not as good as probably we thought.
And also, what do you mean, even though it's hockey? You didn't show them Showgirls, Evan. What does that mean? What a shot at hockey.
No, that was the shot they took at hockey because they have just not gotten into hockey.
Gotcha.
Now, my nephew has, as you know, Gavin down in Florida, where he's a diehard Florida Panther fan, Stanley Cup champion Florida Panther fan.
I've seen more championships than you.
But so far, my kids are more into baseball. Even football is like way too complicated. I am trying so hard with football.
Yeah.
And it's just
not intuitive.
Yeah, it's you almost have to be older than 8 and 3. Now, I'm sure there are some 8-year-olds that are really into it, but that's the, and like Jets into it, it's just, it's so complicated.
Don't show them any given Sunday. Don't do that.
Basketball is like the easiest sport to explain. Like, put ball in hoop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very
If you're behind this line, it's 3. Like, it's,
And whoever scores the most wins.
Yes.
You're right. It is so simple.
I think my youngest is getting into football. I think because he's screaming touchdown a lot, and he's playing with an Altoon figurine at home. I know that sounds random.
What?
Yeah. We found an Altoon figurine. And
did you explain to him who Altoon was?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I explained even dad is too young to remember Altoon.
That's amazing. I got a daddy hat at the Jets practice yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What'd you say?
I said, they actually looked good, sweetheart. And she said, but that's not good, right? I said, no, it is. It is. It's fine. We don't have to hate the Jets. I did say that.
Well, there is audio.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good
but that's, you, Sean. You know why he's doing that, T?
Why?
About a month ago, I was listening to some weekend programming here at WFAN, and I heard Sean doing a show. He was doing it from home, which is great. I think that's a great decision. I'll let people do shows from home. Mm-hmm. I think I ushered that one in. And he brought his daughter on the air. And his daughter revealed that they hate the Jets.
Wow. And Eagles and Cowboys.
No, I only heard they hate the Jets. It's the only thing I heard from your daughter. And so I texted Sean. I was like, wow, so it all comes clean.
You're teaching them to hate the Jets, Sean?
You hate the Jets.
She has two uncles that she loves dearly that torment her for being a Giant fan as Jet fans.
Oh, I see.
So it's
they're
like,
Jet fans.
Yes. So she now is being raised. I don't like them teasing me.
Right.
I don't
naturally,
like the Jets.
That makes sense to me. Because, I mean, I'm almost forgotten that the Jets were so, they're so Long Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
But because they've been in Jersey for so long now, it's actually more, it's more 50-50 out on the island. Got it.
But as a four-year-old, she was curious. She knew where I went and wanted to know how the Jets looked.
Man.
I was like, you know what? I actually appreciate this.
That's very good. Before we get back to your calls, there is something that has bothered me for the last few weeks, and it kind of reared its ugly head last night. So obviously the Yankees beat the White Sox. Nestor Cortez was fantastic. Juan Soto hit three home runs. Great performance by Juan Soto. Great performance by Nestor Cortez. And look, Jake Cousins survived.
Yep.
So who knew you'd be relying on Kirk Cousins' blood, but you are. So Juan Soto came up in the ninth inning of this game with a runner on first and one out, and Aaron Judge was on deck. And clearly the Chicago White Sox were not giving Juan Soto anything to hit.
Right.
And I know that's kind of weird because Aaron Judge is on deck, but he's hit three home runs in the game. And so Jared Schuster, the young left-hander, was clearly pitching around Juan
Soto. Why didn't they just intentionally walk him?
Oh, boy. There's something insulting about intentionally walking a guy when Aaron Judge is on deck.
I understand that, but he's hit three home runs in the game.
Right.
It would have been justified to just say, all right, whatever, we're still kind of in this game.
Right.
It's not over yet. Let's walk him and try to get Aaron Judge.
Yeah, you could have done that, but they chose to basically do it the old-fashioned way, which is we're just going to leave balls out of the strike zone. Mm-hmm. And there were two things I noticed when this happened, and I got to tell you, it does bother me. Number one, okay, the crowd was booing. And I understand there are Yankee fans in Chicago, and they want to see selfishly Juan Soto have a chance to hit a fourth home run. I do, too. Hitting four home runs in a baseball game is a very special thing. It is very unique. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen very often.
Absurd is exactly what it is.
It's absurd.
Yes.
They had four home runs in a game?
Right.
Yeah. And then on social media, Yankee fans are also ticked off. Oh, my God, the White Sox, Jared Schuster, he's afraid, he's chicken, he's this and that. And I uttered the same phrase you just uttered, which is, guys, it's a 4-1 game. Like, the White Sox don't owe Juan Soto and the Yankees anything. And it reminded me of this stupid, stupid topic that I heard amongst friends, and I saw it on social media, and it just bothers me every time it comes up. And that topic is, you know, gee golly, it's not fair that Aaron Judge doesn't get pitches to hit. Baseball's got to change the rules. You know what they should do? In the ninth inning, they should allow you to send your three best hitters up. And then we always get the same announcement.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Analogy of, in football, the quarterback has the ball in his hands. In basketball, Steph Curry has the ball in his hands. Baseball's so stupid. And it bothers me. Like, no.
That's not I've never even thought about that.
Because it's dumb. And you're a smart guy. And even though you're not, you didn't grow up with baseball in your blood,
yeah.
You've understood it. It's different. The New York Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, the Minnesota Twins don't owe history anything. They have to win a game. When the Yankees pitched around Miguel Cabrera, remember that 2 years ago when he was about to get his 3,000th hit? And they pitched around him and the entire Tiger crowd was booing. I came on the radio right after that game ended and said, God bless Aaron Boone. Mm-hmm. Screw Miguel Cabrera. Your job is not to allow him to get a 3,000th hit. Your job is to win the game. The White Sox job last night was, we can't let Juan Soto beat us.
Yeah.
And by the same way, thing when you face Aaron Judge. You can't change the rules because everybody's a crybaby and they want their instant gratification right now.
Yeah, and they were also still in the game, especially considering the night before they scored 12 runs.
Yeah.
And so in their minds, they still think they can win the game.
Yes.
Because they're not losing by 10, losing by 4. And it's really been one person, one player who beat you, and that's Juan Soto.
You're right.
Everybody else had been anemic, essentially. And so I get walking him, but the funny thing is that Juan Soto almost wanted nothing, you know, about being walked.
Yeah, because he swung at a 3-0 pitch right.
Out of the strike zone.
And by the way, that was Juan Soto, and I don't blame him
Luis
for this.
Soho.
That was Luis Soho's way of saying, hey, I want to hit the fourth home run, and I'm going to swing at a 3-0 pitch out of the strike zone to make it happen. I don't rip him for this because I don't know if you guys know Juan Soto's numbers when he swings 3-0. His batting average, so balls in play, obviously. Yeah. He's batting this season, I'm not even kidding you, or maybe it's his career. I got to double check. 714.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. So I get why Juan did it, but, and I know this is hyperbolic to say, but I really believe this. It's like when people, because no one talks politics anymore, so what they do now is they say, if you vote for that person, you hate America. I actually had someone say that to me over the weekend, and it was about each candidate.
Yeah.
I had one friend say, if you vote that way, you hate America, and if you vote that way, you hate America. So I'm going to change it, because this isn't about politics. If you suggest changing baseball rules so that Aaron Judge gets to bat, or Shohei Ohtani gets to bat in every ninth inning, you hate baseball. Stop watching it, quite frankly. Like, give up the game and go away. Because that's not baseball. And if it bothers you that Aaron Judge doesn't get pitches to hit, wah, cry me a river. He's a great player. That's a part of what great players have to do. It's a part of what Babe Ruth had to do. It's a part of what Barry Bonds had to do. They didn't get pitches to hit. It's a part of their greatness that in the rare moments, Teak, where they did get a pitch to hit, they did something about it.
Yeah.
So when you whine and bitch and you actually ask the great sport of baseball to change the rules because it's 2024 and everyone's got the mentality of ADD-ness, then you hate baseball. Don't talk about it anymore then.
Yeah. By the way, you should say, I love America. That's why I'm voting, period.
That's right.
That's the easy answer.
I just thought it was funny that I'm not even joking. I could show you the text.
Both sides.
Within a day of each other.
Wow.
Within a day of each other. I had shows you, I had friends on all sides.
I was going to say, you're sitting right in the middle.
I'm in the middle. I had one friend say, if you vote for this person, you hate America. And then a day later, I had the opposite side say it. And I'm like, well, what happens when I vote for RFK? What does that mean? I don't know. Let's go to, so do you agree with me about that?
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
You too, Sean. Like, you're good? You weren't pissed off when Soto didn't get pitches to hit?
No, that's baseball, Susan. Mm-hmm. That's it. He hit his three homers. They're trying to win a game. They owe us nothing.
And by the way, that's why hitting four home runs in a game is so unique. Because
the fourth time up, or the fourth opportunity, they want nothing to do with pitching to you.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree with it. And then it was on Judge to make him pay for it, and he didn't.
Well, I think he did. Didn't he walk, too? I think he walked, and then they got out of it.
Right.
By the way, it takes a lot of guts to walk Juan Soto with Aaron Judge on deck. But I think the White Sox made the proper determination, even with Austin Wells performing better and Giancarlo performing better, that ultimately you are better off letting anyone else beat you besides Juan Soto and Aaron Judge because you are talking about two of the great players in baseball. And I got to give Sean a little bit of credit for this. And I don't want to get bogged down on this. It was just a thought I had last night. I know a few months ago you brought up Bobby Witt Jr. as an MVP. And I was like, stop it. It's Aaron Judge. I think the more I give the MVP thought, that Juan Soto being as good as he is, if we're truly doing the meaning of most valuable player, then Bobby Witt Jr. is the MVP. Even though Aaron Judge is better. Like, I'm not saying Witt's better, but if you go true definition of most valuable, no offense to Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, what does Bobby Witt Jr. have around him?
It's a most outstanding player award. That's it. That's, we get bogged down in value. If it is valuable, yes, it's Bobby Witt Jr.
Aaron Judge is better than Bobby Witt Jr. I think overall, when you look at all the numbers, they're probably relatively close, but Aaron Judge is better. But when I hear most valuable, Juan Soto hurts Judge's value to a team because he's so freaking awesome.
He's having a career year.
Yeah.
He's never going to hit more home runs in his career than this year.
Well, we'll see.
Well, down the line?
Yeah, we'll see next year.
Well, I meant like so far.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
You never know what ballpark he's going to be playing in next year.
Yeah, no, I mean, he likes the short ports, though, so he'll be fine.
He doesn't like the short ports because he's barely hit home runs over the short ports.
Right. Just go with the joke.
The opposite way.
Yeah, he likes going over. He likes going to left center field.
And by literal way, Evan.
Exactly. When he goes to right field, it's in the second deck.
That's true. I'm just saying, his power zone is left center field. You should do some research on where the best ballpark is to hit when you hit at the left center field. I actually don't know the answer. You should totally look it up, though.
Yeah, where the orange shirts are.
Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike? Hey, guys. Great show as usual. So I'm a huge Mets fan. I just want to say I think it's an interesting time for Stearns as he sees the team kind of fizzle, right? And they fizzled a couple years ago. And how he's going to rebuild the team moving forward. And Pete is making it really easy for Stearns to say, see you later. And to go after Soto, which I do think Hal Steinbrenner ruined the chances of Soto staying with the Yankees. Well, I think Hal, by not signing Blake Snell in the offseason when Soto was already a Yankee, proved he's not going to go all in to win. He will go all in if it helps his pocket. So now Soto is faced with, who do I want to live with the next 10 years? Do I want to live with the owner that will not go all in to win when
Mike,
they have to? Or
Mike, I respect the creativity. Mm. I do. I respect it. You are using too much Jedi mind tricks to figure this thing out.
It's too deep.
Yeah, I think it's very simple, and I've heard Sal say this a lot, and me and him don't agree on everything, but I agree with him on this. You just got to be the highest bidder. Mm-hmm. I think that Juan Soto, like most free agents, like Corbin Burns too, is a highest bidder kind of guy. So to bring up, well, if the Yankees had signed Blake Snell, that would have made it a lock he stayed. Look, I think like with most free agents in the history of sport, it comes down to being paid.
Yep.
It comes down to that ultimate respect.
Especially when you know that no matter where you go, you're going to be the same player. Right? He could play anywhere, Juan Soto, and he's going to be great.
Completely agree with you.
And so it doesn't matter if, I don't know, I feel good about this ballpark to the conversation we were just having, or I feel good about this player. It's who's giving me the most money for Juan Soto. And especially knowing his agent and Scott Boras, that's exactly what Scott Boras is leading with. He's not leading with, oh, is your roster constructed well enough for us to win a World Series in 2 years? No. Do you have the money that I'm asking for? Back up the truck.
I'm not saying that Juan Soto is the same as A-Rod, but A-Rod signed with the Texas Rangers. I don't think he was analyzing roster construction and Tom Hicks.
Yeah.
It was $252 million.
Yes.
So, and the first part to his point I also want to kindly disagree with. Making it easy to let Pete Alonso go. I don't think this makes it easy to let Pete Alonso go. It may make it easy to some Met fans to let him go because you guys are being reactionary to the fact he's not having a good season. And I get that. He's not having a good season. I've been saying that all year.
Right. But he makes it easier for him to stay, right?
That's been my contention.
I would think so, because he's not going to be as hot or desired if he continues with this pretty, I don't say bad, because it's not bad, but just not elite season.
Right. He's not having the best season of his career. Yes. So I also don't think it necessarily makes it easier because he's having a bad year. It may make it easier for some Met fans to accept him leaving, but I don't think it makes it easier, nor do I think Pete's free agency is attached to Juan Soto. And I'll explain to you why very simply. Every single team in baseball who has guts and money will bid on Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's a generational talent. Because he's one of the great baseball players of our generation. And because he's an ungodly youth. He's 25 years old. So free agency, spoiler alert, this is the way it's going to work. Everyone's going to bid on Juan Soto, and the market will stay still until Juan Soto signs. Everyone will wait for Juan Soto to sign, including a guy like Pete Alonso, including a guy like Alex Bregman.
Yep.
They're all going to wait. And every team worth a dime, including the Mets and the Yankees and the Chicago Cubs and the Baltimore Orioles, you name the team, the Seattle Mariners, the Toronto, they're all going to bid on him, as they should.
Texas?
Sure, throw them all out there. Honestly, I think
I'm thinking anybody with money.
I think everybody should, yeah. Even if you don't have money. Like, right. He's that good of a player. And that's going to hold up free agency.
I mean, the Marlins bid on Aaron Judge.
Tampa Bay did.
I mean, Tampa Bay, that's right.
Tampa Bay did, yes. Yes.
Combined, maybe they could have got him.
Right. Right.
How about $200 million, Aaron?
So I love Pete. Pete is an afterthought. Like, he really is. It's everyone going after Juan Soto, and then whoever gets him will then make budget determinations on what they can do next. And maybe that still includes Pete Alonso. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. So I don't think it's like an either-or necessarily. It's going to be, go get one of the best hitters of our generation. Every team's going to fail except for one, right? Mm-hmm. And so all the teams that fail then get to go make their pivot.
Pay me now, or it's time to part ways.
Yeah, that's a great saying. Put that on a t-shirt. Mike in East Rockaway. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Evan? How's everything going?
All's good.
Good, man.
I just wanted to see if you remembered something from a few years ago, because you're talking about the Nets and everybody bitching about the OMG.
Yeah.
Do you remember CC Sabathia, mm-hmm, blowing his extra money?
Careful.
by hitting somebody on the other team?
Yeah.
He was supposed to get enough innings to pitch to get a bonus, and he looked into the dugout and said, "That's for you, bitch."
Yes.
And the Yankees paid him.
Yes. Yeah, because CC's, I do remember that. I forgot that was connected. I remember him saying, "That's for you," and then inappropriate word. I'm trying to remember the context of it. It was Tampa Bay, right?
Tampa Bay, late in the year, was going to be his last start. He needed like two or three more innings to hit the bonus.
And he was upset because someone bunted on him or something?
No, I think it was a retaliation from the night before.
Right, the Rays had hit the Yankees. There was another bunt thing where he hit it. Yes,
because CC hates when people bunted on him. My dream in life is to bunt against CC Sabathia in like a charity softball game so he can just like stuff me into a garbage can. Like, are you kidding?
He's calmed down these days.
Oh, has he? Nah, I love that guy. I think that in fairness, there are very few athletes in this town that had the toughness and the control of a locker room in terms of, I'm going to do anything for you, like CC Sabathia.
Agreed.
He was a legend in that regard. So I don't know how many guys would do that, is the point. Very few guys would do that.
Lose the bonus by getting tossed.
Yeah.
And
then also scream at the player, "That's for you, bitch." That was the best part about it.
Of course it was. You kind of knew what was happening, too. You knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
There was no, like, what's CC doing?
Yeah.
Oh, we know.
No doubt. Steve is in Bergen County. How you doing, Steve?
How you doing, guys?
All
right, so I figured it out. I've solved the intentional walk problem.
All right, let's hear it.
Problem?
So here's my plan.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, this is only going to add to the game, make it more action-packed. You get everything you want. Okay, so at any point in the game, if a batter gets ball four, the team has a choice. The batter either gets their free pass to first base, or a pinch runner gets the free pass to first base, and that batter stays at the plate with a fresh count.
Oh, my God. I don't want to. I was about to utter the phrase, "You hate baseball, goodbye," to Steve. But that one is so creative. I'm kind of dumbfounded by it.
I'm just trying to think of how that works.
The only thing.
Because what?
You give them so you're basically penalizing a team for walking.
Yeah.
The crate.
It disincentivizes intentional walking.
Yeah, but there's an easy way around that. Just don't intentionally walk them and just throw four balls out of the strike zone and say, "Sorry, I had control issues." The only tweak of baseball that I would maybe be okay with, and I probably wouldn't, is the option to defer the walk. Where the player has the right to say, "Nah, I'm good," and you've got to keep going. Now, the problem with that is, if you're a baseball player, you still fail 70% of the time. So you have to have some kind of stones to defer a walk. Think about it.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge is not on base 60% of the time. Like, how could you actually defer that? It takes some kind of guts.
And
then the at-bat would continue.
I'm trying to think if that even makes sense.
No, none of it makes sense.
It doesn't. Because you have to take the base.
Yeah, look.
The total bases is the bigger stat.
I also think sometimes we try to force the sport to be more dramatic than it is. Not every NBA game comes down to a buzzer beater. Not every football game comes down to a final great drive. In baseball, what makes Aaron Judge and Barry Bonds so special is that they only get a handful of baseballs to hit per week. And that's the beauty of their greatness. And if you happen to be there and you happen to be watching the game, then it adds to the magic of it. Or maybe you run into them in a situation in which the bases are loaded with two outs in a one-run game, and you have no other choice. So force-feeding changes just for the instant gratification, it kind of makes me sick.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, look, none of this stuff is never going to happen. Like, we know it's never going to happen.
I wouldn't, you know what, Teek? I can't say that anymore.
Really?
They've made so many rule changes that are... If you would have told me 10 years ago that putting a guy on second base in the extra innings, I would have said, I'll never do that.
Yeah, but I can see how that makes sense because of how long games were going. Like, it was, like, you had to finish a game. It just... You couldn't play 17 innings.
Why?
So, because it takes forever, and it kills your bullpen.
Well,
and all of a sudden, if you don't have... your position player pitching for maybe multiple nights, if you go 17 innings at the game one of a three-game set. You just couldn't do it. It was bad for player health. You don't sleep.
I know, but what you're saying right now, I understand, but 10 years ago, you wouldn't have said it. It wouldn't have. It would have been foreign. If someone called up WFAN and said, I got an extra idea for the extra inning rule, let's put a guy on second base, we'd have laughed at it and said, that's stupid. It's a horrible idea. So that's why I can't dismiss. When you say it'll never happen, I can't agree with you. I hope you're right and it never happens. But I think that Rob Manfred and the powers that be have made so many major changes to baseball, some of which I like. I admit, like the pitch timer, I'm a huge fan of, that I can't dismiss that something like that wouldn't happen. But I do, it makes my stomach crawl when I hear people who love the game say, oh yeah, like even who just texted me? Oh, Al Cintron just texted me, and I love Al. And I'm not trying to get on him, but I'll get on him. Let me read his message first. Can I read his text, or is that like private? Am I pulling a Beningo with Sala?
You know what, though? But Joe's already set precedent, so you might as well.
That's right. True. Hey, I just heard the segment. When I was a kid, in the last inning, we would call CBO, which means change batting order so the best would at bat in the last inning. Okay. I hate that rule. That's stupid. You'd want that in Major League Baseball? Why? That's not baseball
at
all.
Wait, he did that in, like, the backyard or in his... It was a league that did that.
I don't know. He didn't specify.
Oh, okay.
But either way, like, I'm not even saying that's bad in Little League, even though that is bad in Little League.
It is terrible in Little League.
It's actually worse in Little League.
Like, hey, kid, you're not worth a hill of beans.
You know what that means? It means I never would have gotten a ninth inning at that Little League.
Oh, my God.
It's so true. Yeah. No, but it's, come on, guys. What are we doing? Even last night. I mean, come on. You really, the White Sox have to face Juan Soto? Like, no, how could you possibly think that? I don't care how many losses they have. They're supposed to just give in to make you at home happy to see Juan Soto get a chance at a fourth home run? Like, how selfish are we as humans?
Very.
You're right.
I mean, you asked. I'm just answering.
No, you're right. That's what it comes down to. We're all a bunch of selfish pigs. All of us. Me too. You too, Sean. You're a pig over there.
I'm Captain Pig.
I'm glad you admit it. Rob is in Suffolk County. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
I just want to talk on the whole Austin Adams thing.
Yeah.
So I was at the game last night, section 109.
Nice.
And was tearing into the guy. Just, you know, Adams, you suck. Just hollering at him. A couple of people from the, you know, section chimed in. I think that's really what sparked this whole, he turned towards us and kissed towards us. I think that's what he was really kissing to. I don't think it was the whole, you know, Mets, disrespect me. I think he was pissed at the crowd because we were tearing into the guy.
That's interesting. Mm. I have a theory very similar to that from many years ago. Not too long ago. It's 2000 that long ago. You were in the Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's a quarter of a decade, a quarter of a century ago.
So should I not use my philosophy on something from 2000, or is it too long ago?
No, I think it still applies.
A generation ago.
It was a generation ago. So definitely. I don't know if you guys remember, but the Mets won the pennant that year. So did the Yankees. You may remember that. And so the Mets won the pennant, Tiki, in a game that was very similar to the way you guys won the NFC Championship game. It was a party. Remember you guys had like a giant party? It wasn't even a game.
Yes.
And you won the NFC title?
Yes, over in a quarter.
Yes. Same thing happened with the Mets. They were playing the Cardinals. It was game five, and the game was over early on. I think they're up 7-0 early in this game, and the entire stadium became a party. In the eighth inning of that game, there was a relief pitcher on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals. His name is Dave Veers. And Dave Veers was on the mound, no harm, no foul. The entire crowd started chanting. You know, six outs away from winning the pennant, they started singing, na, 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 hey, hey, goodbye. And it was so awesome, man. Like, the entire crowd was singing goodbye to the St. Louis Cardinals. It's freaking amazing. Middle of the inning, dude, it's 8-0. The game is over. All of a sudden, in the middle of this, Dave Veers throws a fastball that hits Jay Payton straight in the head.
Oh, jeez.
Payton goes down to the ground, immediately jumps up and charges the mound with blood hanging from his face.
What?
They never got to fight. Like, everyone broke it up. And I turn to my dad. I think I wrote about this in My Mets Bible on sale now. Dave Veers hit Jay Payton because he was mad at us. He was bothered by the crowd chanting this arrogant, na, 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 hey, hey. And so, unfortunately, he took it out on a Met player, but that's the only reason he drilled the guy in the head. It's always a theory I've had 25 years later. I don't know if anyone thinks about it. And so, what our last caller suggested is that Austin Adams' anger, we didn't get to see it, was at a section of the crowd at Citi Field that was taunting him because, remember, he came in with guys on base and nobody out.
Dude.
And I buy it.
You got some emotional issues if you do that, those type of things.
Well.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It affects you so much that you want to hurt another human being.
Crazy,
intentionally.
Right?
Intentionally. Maybe it just slipped.
Come on. Come on now. We'll get back to your calls in a second at 888-808-1019. Plus, Jazz Chisholm is hurt. Is there a reason why that none of us have really put together in our head? Well, we got somebody on hold that's got a real interesting philosophy on what happened to Jazz Chisholm that you haven't thought about yet. Got a big night of baseball later tonight. The Mets are trying to stop their four-game losing streak against Oakland. We spent a lot of time on that. You can rewind to 2 o'clock. While this game is even more important than just what the standings tell you. And the Yankees are going to try to win a series against the Chicago White Sox. We're also waiting word on Jazz Chisholm. Last night when we left you, we had heard that it looked like Jazz was going on the injured list. He hasn't officially been put on the injured list yet, and we don't know what the course of action is.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a torn UCL? Apparently it's his left elbow, not his right, so it's his non-throwing elbow. And so if it is requiring of surgery, which is Tommy John surgery, unless I'm incorrect here, at least it's not his throwing elbow. For Bryce Harper, it was. For Shohei Ohtani, it was.
But Shohei kept playing. Now, he obviously didn't play the field, but Shohei's never played the field really consistently at all in his career.
Right.
So he could bat. So it's the same situation. No, Shohei was his right elbow. He's a lefty batter.
Correct. Same thing with Jazz. No, Jazz is he's a right-hand thrower, but it's his left elbow, and he's a left-hand hitter, which means your left elbow is your front elbow, if that matters.
Yeah.
The hell do I know? The only thing I know about hitting is I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so I wonder if he could hit. I think that's maybe what they're thinking about.
But here's the problem, Tiki. If he can just hit, is there a role for him as a DH on a team that has Giancarlo Stanton as their DH? Like, I don't think he could play the field.
Well, it's not his throwing elbow, so he can throw. The question is he compromised fielding?
Yeah.
If you have a UCL injury, obviously I don't know, like the motion of moving your elbow is compromised a little bit. But can you play second?
I don't know
enough about the motion of the what the UCL does.
Well,
relative to using that arm.
So here's what I'll tell you, just again based on history, because I'm no doctor, so I like to look at other players.
Yeah,
Gleyber Torres, when he was a prospect, so this was before he was called up, when he was a Yankee prospect, had a torn ligament in his non-throwing elbow.
So same thing,
and he missed the entire season. The injury happened in like May or June of that year, and he missed the entire season. So it really comes down to, does he need surgery? Like, that's kind of what we're waiting on Jazz Chisholm, and it sucks, man, because the guy came over here, and he's been fantastic, and he's really added an element to this Yankee team that they needed. He's hit a ton of home runs. He's got great speed. He's done a fairly good job at third base. He adds an excitement to this team. Disha Tozar wrote this awesome article that I feel even bad bringing up now because Jazz may not play again, but I will tell you guys this, that Jazz Chisholm very secretly, and it wasn't revealed until this article by Disha, is a rapper.
What?
And no one knew it. Yeah. to the point where, and again, this is the kind of reporting I love, so I give her a lot of credit. Jazz Chisholm very quickly became the DJ in the Yankee locker room. Shows the respect he already has. So Jazz would pick the music, and he picked a lot of rap songs. What his teammates didn't know is that the rapper in the songs was Jazz Chisholm. He eventually revealed it, and Aaron Judge suggested it, that maybe Jazz should have a post-game concert like Jose Iglesias.
No, don't do it.
Look up the article.
You are lying.
Am I?
That is not true.
You really think I made that up?
Yes.
Go read the article. Well, Sean, that's your job.
I will. It's also my job to give you Jazz Chisholm news.
Oh, that's great.
And I have audio from John Heyman that is now circulating the old intranet on the most updated report on Jazz.
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go.
It's update. Look, obviously he's got the UCL situation. It does appear that they're hopeful, based on what the original doctors have said, that rest rehab can help him and he can be back in 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
You know, maybe that's a little bit of wishful thinking. I don't know. I'm just guessing there, but they're hopeful that it possible only take 3 or 4 weeks. Not definite. Certainly surgery is a possibility and more doctors are looking at it. Maybe we'll have the final result. Maybe during the show, maybe after the show, sometime certainly very soon.
That was it. Sorry, I cut off quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best case scenario, right? Yeah. If it's only a couple of weeks. So let's hope that's the case. It didn't sound like overly confident about that.
But at least that's what the initial doctor believed, according to Heyman.
If that's the case, it must not be a full tear. It must be just a partial.
Yes.
And I think, isn't that what Shohei was? Shohei was a partial tear.
Yeah, because he played. Bryce Harper, too, played through it for a period of time and then eventually opted for the surgery. Usually you would do it just after the season. Like in Shohei's case, the Angels were out of it, which probably played a lot. I'm trying to remember exactly the circumstances, but probably played a role in it of, hey, we're out of it. Let me have the surgery now. I'll be ready for next year. Obviously, the Yankees are in a far different situation. They're trying to win. Like Jazz will be on the team next year, but they're thinking about this season. So if he can play through it, I think what complicates it is that they don't have a DH spot available.
No.
Like, I don't think all of a sudden Giancarlo, who has not played an inning in the field, is going to all of a sudden become an outfielder. Like, I don't think we're looking at a Soto, Judge, Stanton outfield at any point. So I don't think you have that ability to just DH him, which you were able to do with these other players.
And the last thing you want to do is have him be simply a pinch hitter or a pinch runner.
Well,
it's better than nothing, bro.
Yeah, he's so electric on the base paths that if it came time for a playoff roster and all he could do is run, Tiki, and you have Giancarlo doubles in an eighth.
I know that's right, what you're saying. He's better than maybe some of the alternatives.
Right.
But when he first got here, he was so good being the protection behind Judge and Soto that it just feels like a waste if he's not available for that as well.
I agree, but I think one thing that I've learned watching him play every day now is he's so good at creating runs on his own on the base paths. In fact, that's how he got hurt.
Yeah, that's how he got hurt, right.
There was a spot for that with Jerry Hairston.
If it doesn't harm him in the future, I'd want Jazz Chisholm helping this team any way I can. Obviously, it's less than ideal, Teague. Mm-hmm. I want him out there every day as the third baseman. But if he could help as a bat off the bench or a pinch runner off the bench, I'd still do it. Mm. But the hope is he can be more than that because he does change this Yankee lineup.
Right.
But it makes you wonder, what happened to Jazz Chisholm? Is it just, hey, that's baseball, guys get hurt? Or is there something more? Vincent in Brick. How you doing, Vincent?
It's cursed. 13 is cursed. 13 is hanging up in the rafters in WFAN building right now.
Right.
And it should be hanging up in Monument Park. It is cursed. There's no. There shouldn't even be a debate. We know he's not going to come back this season.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I got to tell you, Vincent.
Joey Gallo couldn't hit a beach ball off his tee if you threw it there. Now all of a sudden, 3 weeks in, Chisholm's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not a big, and I know that Tiki isn't a big believer in curses or bad luck, but there may be something to it, bro. Because Joey Gallo, before he got traded to the New York Yankees, was an 870 OPS, 30 home run a year kind of guy. He comes to the Yankees and instantly sucks. And what happened? They gave him 13. Jazz Chisholm comes to the Bronx, gets 13. We didn't think much of it. And he's great because he's a great player, but curses, Tiki, sometimes affect you in different ways.
Right.
And so, in this way, he gets hurt. So what we need to do is get 13 off Jazz Chisholm. There is a way to save this.
Who else is before?
That's it. It's Gallo and Chisholm.
That's it after A-Rod.
That's it.
Well.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't believe in those type of things.
But.
I mean, it's coincidence. And I don't like coincidence either.
So you know what that means.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
And it's an unlucky number anyways.
He's got to rid himself of that number because our last caller is right.
Did he ask for it?
I'm sure he did. I don't think they just handed it to him, right?
I don't know. They might have said, you know what? This is a guy I can retire his number. Yankees are looking for the double dip on retiring 13. They're not going to retire A-Rod's 13 until they have another guy they can retire.
Really? They need to have someone else attached to it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any... Again, who are the great 13s?
In where? Yankee history?
Any sport.
Edgardo Alfonso.
Dan Marino,
Alfonso.
Come on. He slipped that one in there, Edgardo Alfonso.
Steve Nash wore 13. If we're talking about like all the sports. What number did Wilt wear? Did Wilt wear 13? For some reason, I think that.
I thought he was 11.
No, maybe you're right.
Who's Wilt? Wilt.
Kurt Warner, number 13.
Kurt Warner.
Wilt wore 13. So Wilt Chamberlain is like
Clemente.
Number one.
Don Maynard, number 13.
You said Clemente?
Roberto Clemente did not wear 13. He wore 21. Shut your mouth over there.
Yeah, because of right field in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
This is so stupid.
What are you doing, 13 with Clemente?
Okay, can I just read this? The best athletes to wear 13 in basketball include Wilt Chamberlain, Steve Nash, and James Harden. The Variety in other sports would see baseball icons Alex Rodriguez, Roberto Clemente, and Dave Concepcion wear it at different points in their MLB careers.
Oh, so did Clemente wear it when he first came? Yeah, he did. No, he wore it when he... But nobody thinks of Roberto Clemente as 13. Like, that's an interesting factoid, but...
I'm just reading it, all right? I didn't think.
No, but that bothered me. That was, like, offensive.
I don't... I have to apologize.
It's just... It's like someone saying, you know, Jackie Robinson was 39, and it's like, shut up. He was... what are you talking about?
I just did a quick Google, and I was reciting.
All right, so what's the point about this? Oh, yeah, we got to get 13 off Jazz Chisholm. I'll tell you the exact number I'd give him.
What?
31. It's 13 backwards. It was last worn by Aaron Hicks, who I don't think is any kind of jinx or anything like that. Yeah. I would totally give 31 to Jazz Chisholm because we do. I like Jazz. I really do. I like Jazz. I think most Yankee fans like Jazz. I think he's got a chance to be a star around here. And he can't let the Yankees' issues, personal issues with Alex, come in the way of what could be a great Yankee career. And to the Yankees, I'm sorry. 13's retired. Look at the Raptors right now at WFAN. Oh, wait. There's something next to it now. Not only is there a 13 retired... There is a framed picture of Tiki Barber wearing a Breece Hall jersey with an autograph from Breece Hall.
And it says, to Tiki, from your favorite player, Breece Hall.
That's right.
Number 20.
You know what that means?
What's that?
I don't know what it means, actually. Exactly. I was thinking something.
It means we have a nice photo of me in a green jersey. Actually, yes. It's a black jersey with green ribbing.
Let's just be clear. You're wearing a Jet jersey.
I just said a green
You're wearing a Jet jersey of the best running back in New York sports. No, I'm sorry. I can't. Not yet.
That's an insult to the best running back in Jet history.
Curtis Martin, I know. That's why I stopped myself. It wasn't just you, because I was insulting you and John Riggins. I can't count John Riggins. Frank Gifford. I was just saying. By the way, he can be. Like, there's a chance, and you'd be the first to admit it, you're an upstanding guy, to say, wow, that guy turned out to be the greatest running back in the history of New York sports.
But it'd be an evolution of the running back, because he's not going to get to the yardage numbers that some of the greats in history have.
Yeah.
You just don't get those many carries. But
you're right.
He could get total yardage numbers that could be astronomical.
Yeah.
Because they're going to use him in the passing game.
They're going to use him in the passing game. And I think, like anything we talk about in sports, you have to know, okay, the sport's different. It's like wide receivers today. They put up numbers that wide receivers from 40 years ago can never put up.
Right.
That doesn't make, like, the fifth receiver better than the best receiver from 30, 40 years ago. So we just have to use our judgment. But the one thing we all agree on, just to get back to the point at hand, Jazz Chisholm needs to give up 13. Not because we dislike Jazz, but because it's for his own good. Mm. They need to save him. You agree, right, Sean? You're the one that did this whole thing.
No, I like that he wears 13.
What?
Really?
I do.
He was two, right?
Yes.
He was number two.
He wore number two in honor of Derek Jeter.
Get two, but who's 12?
Who's 12 where?
Oh, Trent Grisham.
Oh, Grisham.
Oh, he could take 12.
This is my problem.
Get that crap off Trent Grisham. What are we doing?
the Yankees have so little. I'm so sick and tired of watching the numbers in the 80s and the 90s. It's the curse of it that, like, yeah, A-Rod's number should be retired. But at the same time, as long as it's not, I have no problem with somebody like Jazz Chisholm getting it when you know he's a star. If that makes sense.
No, but you retired the number.
It just doesn't look the same on him.
We retired it here.
But it doesn't look right on him.
I mean, what does that mean? I think it does.
It doesn't look right on him because it's A-Rod. Like, number 14's available. Jamai Jones was wearing it. Now he's gone. Give him 14. Like,
I have no problem with that.
But that's my point. Like, there are other numbers that aren't absurd, like 95, mm-hmm. that are available. And I think you're a giant hypocrite. You're the one that pushed this retired number on all of us. You're the one that brought us A-Rod Day. And now you're telling me it's good that Jazz Chisholm is wearing 13?
Because the Yankees haven't followed suit. So as long as they haven't followed suit, I would rather Jazz Chisholm wear the next lowest available number. That's all. And I have no problem with double number retirements. I'm cool with that. Let's retire all their numbers. Matter of fact, I would unretire everybody's number and keep them retired. If Jazz wore 2, it wouldn't bother me.
That's, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
That's lunacy.
It's not lunacy.
You want to unretire numbers of the New York Yankees?
What I want is the numbers to be retired, but not. Like, I want them to be available, but I want them still hung up in the...
That's absurd. No human could wear number 3 or number 4.
I'd have no problem if somebody wore Babe Ruth's number.
You would be okay with that?
Yeah, it stays retired, but it's available.
So if Trent Grisham was wearing number 4, you'd be like, cool, no biggie?
Yes, and the only reason...
But what's the point of it being retired if it's
silly.
Available?
It's silly, because I know how this sounds crazy, but now that I've lived in a world with all these insane numbers on baseball jerseys, I realize the whole thing is kind of silly. It's a way to honor the player, and they always live out there. Not every team has Monument Park, by the way. This goes for every team. Put the number up there, and you remember, number 2, that's how we'll remember. But it's really still available to wear on the field.
I just want to get this out of the way, because I know people wanted to opine, even though I didn't want them to opine. But we are friendly here at Evan and Tiki. There are people that want to come up with their stupid ideas on how to help out with the intentional walk in baseball, even though it's not an issue. So let's take 2 really quick calls about it, and then we'll all never talk about it again. Is that fair?
Yes.
Like, we get it out of our system. Let's go to Dan in Woodside. Go ahead, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First of all, I agree. They shouldn't change anything. But if you're going to change something, one way to get Judge and people like him more quality at bats and keep strategy in the game is that if you're walked for the third time in a game, either intentionally or unintentionally, you get 2 bases.
Yeah, the problem with that is there's no way to differentiate between an intentional walk and a regular walk. Like, back in the day, like, not that long ago.
But he's saying regardless of the walk.
So the Mets, who can't throw strikes all year long, should be penalized in the 8th inning because they have a bunch of crappy pitchers that can't throw strikes.
I see.
And now all of a sudden a walk becomes 2 bases?
Right, I hate.
Kiss my ass with that. No offense to our last caller.
I mean, the likelihood of it happening is rare.
Oh, I think it's not rare at all.
To have someone walk 4 times in a game?
Yeah, Brandon Nimmo, even when he stinks, does that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mark in Manhattan, and then it's out of our system. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up? You know what? I actually decided that it's so stupid, I don't even want to talk about it, but I want to talk about my Mets point.
I love you, Mark. So, you're my favorite. It's awesome.
After that last call, I'm like, what am I thinking about? Let's move on. So on the Mets, let me see if I'm being fair here. And I get tired, just like everybody else, about hearing about the core and all this, but you know, we have PTSD as Mets fans, especially around this time of the year when they stop hitting, because it's happened year in and year out where the pressure gets on and they, you know, fold. And I think, and I'm going to blame it all on one player, and that is Pete Alonso, who, you know, cannot seem to get a hit. He's their star player, arguably, you know, him or Lindor, but he's their star, you know, slugger. And he can't get a hit with runners in scoring position all year. He bet on himself and put pressure on himself this year to sign a big contract. And what has that done for him? Because there's so much pressure on him, he can't get out of his own way at the plate. And I just feel like it just reflects on the entire team's hitting.
Before we respond to that, I got to ask you a really quick question without getting into too many details. Are you free tonight? Like, do you have plans tonight?
I do have. Why, are you going to give me a Mets ticket?
Yeah, I was, but you're busy, so... All right, sorry about that.
Shoot.
I'm sorry. I got to let you go. I don't know the rules. Like, I can't have a contest. I was just being nice to him. But luckily, I didn't give them away because he's busy tonight.
Yes.
That sounded kind of freaky. Like, hey, you free tonight?
I know. Are you propositioning me? No, just the tickets.
Yeah. I'm going to go give it to somebody else because now I can't make this a thing on the air. Yeah. I can't have a contest.
It would have had to have been spontaneous.
He had to say yes.
Yeah, I'm cool. Whoa, what do you got? What do you got?
And then I would have said, wait on hold. I have a surprise for you. And then I would have whispered, I'm giving him my Met tickets. And then that would have been it. So now, Teak, do you want my Met tickets tonight?
No, I can't go.
Why not?
Because I got stuff to do.
Hey, Connor, you want my Met tickets tonight?
I'm sorry. I'm very busy. Very, very busy.
He says that in such a sarcastic way. Oh, baby. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. Plus, I'm going to put Sean and Tiki into a very, very big test. Because I believe that Malik Nabers is facing expectations that are not fair to him. So for the first time ever, we're going to have the Malik Nabers expectation test. Mm. Plus, more of your phone calls on the Yankees, the Mets, the NFL. It's up to you. 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.